Hello and welcome to today's episode of Rainer on Leadership, your online home for leadership lessons and advice from the local church. I'm your host, Jonathan Howe, and as always, I'm joined by Tom Rainer, the president and CEO of Lifeway Christian Resources.
Hey, got a question for you.
Yes, sir.
How many years have you been working for me?
Almost six.
How many times have you said, I quit working for him in your mind?
Now, never.
Don't say never.
Never.
Don't say, because I know you've had some moments.
Yeah. It's been fun.
I know it's been mostly fun, but let's say you've had some valleys, okay? Let's just say that working for the Rainer is not always great, wonderful. Maybe the podcast listeners just think that.
It's always great.
Golly, I gotta get you to comment on anything. Well, you know, maybe I can look over here at Amy T or Amy J and say, how many times have y'all been? No, I'm not going to ask that question because I would understand exactly where they might respond. How many times do pastors and other church leaders want to quit?
A lot.
Usually on Mondays. Usually on Mondays. What happens Sundays?
Church.
Yes.
And they're exhausted. They get hit with crazy complaints, and
usually right before the sermon for the pastors.
Yeah.
Pastor, can I talk to you about this? And then it's the notorious, what do I call it? The past, PAST. People are saying that.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
The notorious statement about people are saying that. And they get hit, they get exhausted, and they come in on Monday and they say, I just don't know if I can take this anymore. That's what we'll be talking about in the podcast today, but we will put it on the positive, six reasons not to quit. But in the event that you quit and you need some help finding a church and you need some place to place you in church ministry, or if you're a church and somebody has just left because they quit, the best place for them to go is Vanderblumen.
Vanderblumen Search Group is the premier pastor search firm dedicated to helping churches and ministries build great teams. They've helped hundreds of churches just like yours find their church staff and are uniquely geared to help you discern who God is calling to lead your church. Find out more about Vanderblumen Search Group by visiting westaffthechurch.com.
All right, Jonathan, I'm going to take us back to a trip that we made some time ago.
And
I'm not going to even identify the state in this particular case.
Okay.
It might be too clear if I identify the state. So we're talking to a group of church leaders.
All right.
And they're all lay leaders. They're all just incredible leaders. I mean, we were around them for 15 minutes and we knew we were in the presence of some godly people, some people who really had their act together. There was this one guy who is convinced that the Antichrist is coming through the iPhone. You remember that?
I do. Hard to forget that.
Hard to forget. And I kept looking at my iPhone. I mean, he had all this rationale and I don't know how serious he was, but I kept pushing my iPhone away and I had my brief presentation on my iPhone to present to them and I made him open it because I didn't want to touch it at the particular time because I thought something might jump out. Well, when we do this podcast today, I was really thinking instead of just having six reasons not to quit, maybe to have three different sections of six. And we could have six.
No.
Okay. I won't go there. I saw the number six and it just reminded me of this recent visit to this state where, this lay leader.
Yep.
Well, it's scaring me about the iPhone.
That did get me thinking though.
Yeah.
We're at 362 right now. We're about 300 episodes away from making a decision on whether or not to have an episode.
Oh, wow. Yes. Of 6-6. It's like, going to a hotel and it goes from 12 to 14.
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah.
People on 14 know what floor they're on. They ain't stupid.
Yeah. 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 That's why it's hard to get that one occupied. Oh my goodness. We'll talk about it. We'll talk about it shortly. Well, let's look at this. Six reasons not to quit.
All right. Number one, when we have no clarity from God.
I would not want to presume for one moment upon the will of God for people, but I can tell you this. Let's think about the different networks that are coming to us directly, pastors and church staff. Social media, usually not the clearest ones, but because, you know, Facebook posts maybe so, but tweets, 140 characters, it's hard to know, but social media. Then we have the blog, tomrainer.com, where we're hearing from them all the time. Then the podcast, you put those two together and you're almost at 10 million that are somehow connecting to us. And then Church Answers, where we have hundreds and hundreds of hundreds that are actually making direct comments on the Q&A at Church Answers Central. And so we hear from pastors and church leaders, and it's not that we are the brightest bulb in the chandelier, but we hear from them. And one thing that we will hear quite often is, it's time for me to quit. And I will then just press a little bit. And again, just ask Nellie Jo, my discernment is on a scale of 1 to 10, somewhere around a 0.3. My discernment is not the best in the world, but I can discern it's not really God leading them. It is some type of situation that has just hit a bump. I mean, just as we were talking, I just got a text, and you know, I'm aware of how people get hit quite often, and I'm aware of what's going on with them in their lives. And so sometimes we have a visceral reaction. We have this reaction that says, I quit. And maybe that outside voice, that person, that mentor, and that's what I love about Church Answers, is we have direct access to these leaders, can say, I think you just need to give it some time.
Yeah.
I think you do. I've been there. I've done that. You've seen me there before, where I've just, you know, said, I really don't know if I want to do this anymore. You know, I'm there, and gave it time, and, you know, got to the other side. And here's the bottom line. This number one, you have no clarity from God. Again, I don't want to act that I have the discernment for someone on whether or not they should stay or go, but I certainly want that someone to have some type of indication through biblical truth, through wise counsel, through the conviction of the Holy Spirit, whatever, however this comes down to discerning the will of God, that there's clarity of God before they quit. It's not always time to quit.
How do they get that clarity?
One of the ways that the guys on Church Answers and some of the ladies on Church Answers get the clarity is they say, "Here's my situation. Do you see this as a true time for me to quit, or am I just going through a low moment?" So what do? They get wise counsel
from outside.
Wise counsel. They ask someone, which is basically what I've done in the past too, and before I quit.
All right. Number two. When you haven't expressed gratitude and joy to God for where you are now.
Who was I talking to, Jonathan? I know that's rhetorical. Don't answer it. Don't answer it, because I'm trying to remember. But I was talking to someone, and they were talking about the pervasive influence of what we do.
Oh, and, well, and that's good.
I mean,
I guess it's in a positive.
It was extremely positive.
Okay.
And they were talking about the number of people that we touch, and the way that people look to us as a trusted resource. There are times in the midst of critics that I forget that reality. There are times when I'm getting beaten up that I forget that the critics are the minority. In fact, most of the time, a handful compared to the thousands or tens of thousands. There are times when I have not expressed gratitude to God for what He has given me, and as a result, I have a jaded view of life and ministry. If pastors and other church leaders would just take a few moments and to think about the people in their churches that have thanked them, the lives that have been changed as God has worked through them, the people who've come to know Christ, the people who are now walking as stronger disciples. It is so easy in the day-to-day noise and garbage of church life to lose sight of that. Remember what the Apostle Paul said as the Word of God was inspired as he was writing to the church at Philippi? Said, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice." It is one of those rare double commands in Philippians 4. It's a double imperative. And who was talking? Paul. Probably from prison.
Yeah.
Probably from a Roman prison. Probably being persecuted. At some point facing death. And what does he say in a double command? Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. So before you quit, pastor, staff person, have you expressed gratitude and joy to where you are now and for what God is doing? Do that before you give up, and it may help you understand that God is not done with you yet.
Well, and also throw in there that if we have any non-pastors listen to this, so maybe you're a lay leader in a church, Express joy and gratitude toward your pastor.
Ooh, that's a good point.
Or toward your leaders.
That's a good point.
Do that as well.
I totally, totally agree. That's a great point.
Number three, when it's just about a few critics.
Yeah. I just mentioned that I'm in a text conversation with someone right now who is getting beaten up pretty, has been getting beaten up pretty hard by the critics. And something happened that was a reminder that the critics are small or few in number. they're small in who they are, and they're few in number. And most of the time, when you look at the total perspective of who is out there, it is really just a few. Think of the pastor. I'm thinking of a pastor where the church is running about 140 in attendance. He is going through a horrendous time right now. Seven people.
Ooh.
Seven. Now, seven over 100.
That's 5%.
That's good, Jonathan. That's why I did the 7 and the 14, so you could do it just like that. Do the 14, cut it in half. Yeah, I know exactly what you were doing. All right, that's 5%, and that's a lot.
Yeah.
But it's still only 7 people. Yeah.
95%.
95% are affirming him. And he's thinking, he's worn out with these 7.
Well, just think about that, too. If you're getting voted into a church and you get 95% of the vote,
that's
pretty good.
Yes, it does. Yes, it
is. But when you're there, that 5% sure does sound a lot louder than that 95%.
And think of what this pastor goes through. He probably hears from at least one of these people every day.
Oh.
And so okay, if they were sharing days.
Bill, it's Tuesday. It's your turn.
It's your turn. Hit the pastor. And so if he's hearing from them every day, 365 days out of the year, he's heard from a critic. That's in a church just running about 140 in attendance. I remind him through Church Answers. I remind him that there are 133 people that love him, support him, and there are probably 50 or 60 who just absolutely will die for him, if not more. So when you get criticized, I know in the midst of the battle it is difficult to see, but when you get criticized, pastor, church staff person, understand that in most cases it's only a few of them, and it usually is only a few of them.
All right, number four, when it's a season of discouragement or difficulty.
All of us have our seasons of difficulties. All of us have our seasons that we would call the valley. All of us have our moments of uncertainty about where we are and what we're doing. That's just the nature of life. That's just certainly the nature of ministry. And there will be times when you are going through one of those valleys, pastor, staff person. There will be times wherever you are living, working, serving, or doing ministry that you will go through a season of discouragement. Now, the key is it an aberration, which I would call a season, even though the season may seem excruciatingly long, or is it something that is endemic and systemic to the organization that would say, okay, this is not going to go away. It's just time to leave. Quite frankly, I know that you were communicating with someone just this day about the whole idea of church closures and replanting, and
yeah.
You were sharing with me some of those things in that communication. There are a number of churches, too many right now, that are closing their doors because the issues in their churches were so systemic, so much a part of the culture of the church that any leader in there would not have gotten over that season. Mm. And it just would have been difficult. But many times, leaders, many times you're going through a season. Listened to a sermon at my church, at the church at Spring Hill, and I should remember which psalm it is that has joy comes in the morning. Is it Psalm 30? I've already said it, so it's going to be like I said yesterday about a particular domain. And I said, "Oh, I wish I hadn't said that domain."
Yeah,
but there, you go through the time. It is Psalm 30.
Look at you. Well, I knew it was right. I just didn't want to give you the validation.
Oh well.
But Amy T just checked it.
Amy T, give me the verse where it has a season in the morning. So if y'all hear me pausing just a moment, I'm waiting to listen to Amy T. Psalm 30, verse 5, and it says, or I can look it up if you want me to. So here is Psalm 30, 5, not 35, Psalm 30, verse 5.
There you go.
For his anger lasts only a moment, but his favor a lifetime. Weeping may stay overnight, but there is joy in the morning. Love that verse.
I like that translation of that, too.
Yeah, that's the Christian Standard Bible translation.
Available at Lifeway.com.
Thank you. So it is so biblical that seasons are what every believer goes through. I mean, think of the season that David went through when he was writing that psalm.
Well, you have the whole list of things in Ecclesiastes,
a time for mourning, a time for joy, a time for dancing.
Yep. Unless you're Baptist. Asterisk.
Yeah.
That one's been changed in the, it's a time for interpretive movement in the CSB.
I love it. So understand that you're going through this season of difficulty, and maybe someone can see that perspective for you and help you get to the other side.
All right, number 5, when the job is not yet done.
That one's a bit ambivalent. And, okay, who wrote it? I did. Okay, so it's my content. The ambivalence cannot be satisfied in the context of a podcast. What does it mean when the job is not done?
There's still work to do.
Okay, but there's always work to do. And quite frankly, sometimes people hang on past the time because you can rationalize there's always more work to do. And so
that's the next podcast, when leaders don't finish well.
Okay. Well, is it the one that follows this one?
That would be the next one. Yes.
So in episode 363, we're going to cover that. I just realized you were being a smart aleck.
Yes.
And I just went right. I look around the table and everybody's laughing. I say, he was just a smart aleck to me. And I just went right over it. Yes, it is the next one, which is episode 363. If I were to ask someone, how do we know when the job is done? Our answer would be,
it depends.
It depends. Exactly. We cannot discern when you think that, okay, it's really time to move on. It's time for another leader to come in. It's time for another person. But I think you will know. And sometimes leaders in churches leave before the job is done. Mm. And so that's a reason not to quit.
All right. And finally, when a commitment has been made.
Okay. You've made a promise.
Yes, I have.
And you're going to be at this church, for example. Now, I understand there are extenuating circumstances. There are exceptions where you have to say, I know I made a promise, but... But if you can honor that commitment to stay, I know a pastor who said, God willing, I am committing to stay at this church a minimum of 5 years. And he told the church that publicly. And at least he prefaced it with God willing. But he made a 5-year commitment. And why was that? The church had been through a series of 1- and 2-year pastors, like every pastor for the last 15 pastors. So it was just cycling pastors in and out. I mean, beating them up, throwing them out, beating them up, throwing them out, or they were quitting. 6 reasons not to quit, not at this church, going and quit. And so he said, I'm going to stick it out. And he's actually going through the difficult season right now. And he said, I made a commitment to this church, and I'm going to stick it out. I think you will.
Yeah.
I think that he will make it. We understand that you cannot always honor those commitments, but if you can, do so.
All right, I got a question for you.
All right, question.
Today in the podcast room with us is Tommy Ford.
Yes.
From the University of Alabama.
Yes.
Who we are very familiar with, their head coach.
Tommy's associate athletic director at the University of Alabama.
Yep. We're very familiar with their head football coach.
Do not go there, Jonathan.
I'm just asking a question.
Just because you are an LSU
fan. No. I'm not going to talk about that. I'm not going to talk about how he just bailed on the Tigers.
Bail on the Tigers. It was the Dolphins.
That's true. That is true. Do you know of any churches that actually offer, like, they bring on a pastor and they give him it's a 3-year contract?
No, I don't.
Are we ever going to get to that point? I mean, is that something that's even feasible, possible in the church world? Like multi-year contracts for pastors?
Well, you know, we might get a longer tenure if we offer multi-million-dollar.
that's different. That's a different story. But what I'm saying is, like, is there a reason for, are we putting constraints on God when we do that? Is there a reason that we haven't seen that? I mean, we see that some in business world. I mean, people get contracts. Most people don't have a contract, but we know teachers that get a year to year, or, you know, professors in seminaries and things like that, they have tenure. And so it's kind of like open-ended.
We have forms of it in church life. And it usually happens with the appointment system.
Okay.
You and I
but are... But not a congregational system.
Like in a congregational system like Baptists, most of the Baptist-like denominations,
they
are congregational in government, so they're not going to go contract because... do you remember? No, you don't remember. But if you're studying church history, what was the pattern in the past? Year-to-year renewal. And so you would come in as a pastor, and you would have to be revoted on every year. That was the pattern of many Baptist churches in the past.
That's two podcasts from now. We're going to talk about evaluating pastors, mistakes churches make.
You are the Mr. Segue today.
Well, you're just feeding me.
Okay. But I don't know what's coming next, so I didn't know I was feeding you. I don't think it's going to happen in congregational governments. I do think that we have some form of it in appointment system like Methodist, where they are appointing pastors. And at least a bishop or some type of overseer has a sense that we're going to keep that person there for a season. And they communicate that to the congregation and to the pastor. But other than that, I don't know of any.
I'm just wondering if that would help ease some of this.
Because I don't know.
The critics would know, all right, he's got a definite end date, so to speak. We can't really run him off earlier. The pastor would know, hey, I've got to stay. I mean, there's pluses and minuses. I'm going to get cards and emails about this probably, but
we get cards and emails about everything. This would be the situation. If you do that, you have to have a landing place for that person, and that's what the appointment system does. It says at the end of this, I'm not calling a contract, but at the end of this appointment, we will move you to here. The problem with congregational is 5 years comes and there's no place to go. Bye-bye.
Well, I mean, you could have performed well enough to re-up your contract through 2022 for $7 million a year.
Yeah, right.
I get those numbers right, Tommy? I did.
Oh, gosh. We've got 15 million.
I don't know what he's making now.
We've got, would you stop it? We've got an AD here and someone who used to be in sports information here, and y'all are just getting too much off track. Possibly, I just don't think it's going to happen.
Nah, okay.
I just don't think it's going to happen. But one way that I think that you could have more security where you are is to be better trained as a pastor and as a staff person.
Always be learning.
Always be learning. And there's church answers to always be learning. And then there's always the foundational part to this, and that's Bible college or seminary training, and Midwestern Seminary is one of the best.
Yep, Midwestern Seminary is one of the fastest growing seminaries in North America and exists to train leaders for the church. The local church is God's plan A for the proclamation of the gospel, and there is no plan B. And this is Midwestern's vision and heartbeat. Equipping pastors and other ministry leaders who are called to expand God's mission in the world through the local church. At Midwestern Seminary, they train leaders for the church. Visit them online at mbts.edu and begin your ministry training today. I'm going to be up there in a couple weeks.
Oh, good. Good.
Going up to the big For the Church conference.
Oh,
so
good.
If you're in the area, I think there's still time to sign up for that. So,
all right. Well, have a good time. I know you always have a good time when you're in Kansas City. And
I can get through the airport.
Yeah, it's not the best airport in the world. there come some more emails as a result.
Yeah, I know. People know that where I stand on that. I tweet about that pretty frequently.
Yeah, but now this is on the podcast me. So it's a little bit bigger audience.
Send
so.
Those to me. I'll gladly take it. Wichita has the airport. Kansas City, which is it has. It had.
Yeah. And we were just in about a month or so ago. We were in Fort Smith about a month and a half ago. Fort Smith Airport. Famous for.
It's bathrooms.
It's rest. No, it's not a bathroom. It's
restroom.
There are no baths in there. I didn't see any baths in there. I think it's just a restroom.
You never know.
Really? We could do a podcast on restrooms. No.
No.
No, we couldn't. But it really.
Rainer on restrooms. Now available on iTunes.
I like that.
Nope.
Nope. We've talked about the segues that are coming up in the next two podcasts, so my closing is just stay tuned for those.
All right. Well, thanks again for joining us today here on Rainer on Leadership. Be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Google Play, and your favorite podcasting app, and join us online at tomrainer.com, where we are growing healthy churches together.